Hi, we're Rebecca and Gabby. We wish we never had a reason to meet, but we did. It was the spring of 2007 at a dinner party for six women in their 20s and early 30s, held in a cramped Manhattan walk-up with no dining room and weak AC. After a round of awkward greetings, we arranged ourselves in a rough circle with plastic plates full of baked ziti teetering on our laps. The host was a mutual friend, but the rest of us were total strangers to each other. And we had no idea whether we had anything in common other than A, we all seemed to love cheese, B, we all clearly had functioning sweat glands, and C, we were all facing a life without at least one of our parents. That last reason was why we had all shown up in the first place. The first few minutes were spent quietly blinking across the room at each other. Finally, someone started speaking. Then someone else. Soon, stories came pouring out of us unfiltered, like the two-buck chuck we'd been nervously sipping. As we worked our way through that pan of Italian red sauce, we fed our collective desire, no, our need, to share our experiences, our fears, and our outrages. The result was massive relief. Relief even in the face of knowing that important relatives would be conspicuously and infuriatingly absent for all the hoped-for milestones that lay ahead. Dog adopting, home buying, marriage, kids, career changes, exciting successes, and idiotic missteps. And also proof that we weren't going crazy for struggling well beyond the mythical, the first 12 months is the worst period. Or wanting to slug the next person who innocently asked, "No, really, how are you?" Everyone else had assured us time would heal or we'd get past it. But how did they know? It had been surprisingly difficult to find other people our age who understood what we'd been going through, or who could at least stick around to talk through our honest answers. After all, they'd asked. Even in a metropolis like New York, where you can easily get a guy in a bear suit to give you a hug. 3 years before that pivotal dinner party, Gabby, then 24, was in the newsroom of the community newspaper where she wrote obituaries. Yes, for real. When she learned that her father Larry and stepmother Ruth had been murdered. The fatal connection? A frozen pipe. A call to a local plumbing company, which sent a methamphetamine addict with a long rap sheet to do the repair. That man would show up at their home about a month later, amid a four-day meth binge, intending to rob them. He ended up beating them to death inside their unassuming southwestern split level. The house had a view of the Sedona, Arizona red rock formations that people were always saying was to die for. And here they were, dead. Two thoughtful, soulful, industrious humans with an energy, resolve, and sense of adventure that made them seem younger than they were. Dead. Just 6 months before that first ZD dinner, late at night on Labor Day 2006, Rebecca's parents, Shelby and Ray, dropped her off in New York City after their annual Lake George Adirondack camping trip, before continuing down the highway toward their hometown of Philadelphia. Less than an hour after a round of goodbye kisses and hugs, a murky object on the darkened road led to a violent car crash that left Shelby lifeless and Rebecca motherless. The accident was on the very turnpike that had always brought them safely back to each other. Barely 4 years after Shelby's death, Ray was on a Caribbean cruise, trying to eke out something resembling enjoyment after losing the love of his life. Late one night in his cabin, his heart gave out. The nightmare Rebecca had been dreading became reality. Suddenly, she was orphaned, a term she'd always associated with very young Dickensian characters clutching dented pails.